Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, BPJ share number 94. Vice Premier joint share for men and women, share number 94. We're in a book, Setting a Table for Two, Enhancing Relationships, Achieving Intimacy, by Avraham Peretz Friedman. We're in chapter 3, which is titled Getting an Attitude, Developing Self-Respect, and a Healthy Self-Image. Because marriage requires self-respect, you need to believe that you're worth being married to. In addition, having a good, healthy self-image is a prerequisite for entertaining worthy thoughts of other people, including your husband or wife. In general, the degree of respect and compassion we have for others is driven by the degree of respect and compassion we have for ourselves. That's v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. When you love your neighbor like yourself, that predisposes that there's a kamecha like yourself. You need to have a healthy love towards yourself. That's kamecha. In order to love your husband and your wife truly, you have to learn how to love yourself in a healthy way. And because the Torah does want you to love other people, in order to do that, one needs to develop a capacity to love yourself. There's no way around it. But we are very rough on ourselves, and we have a misconception of our view of ourselves. And that is why we sometimes fail in this. But in general, again, the degree of respect and compassion we have for others is driven by the respect and compassion we have for ourselves. That is an immutable law of human nature. When people feel secure and positive about themselves, they are much more capable of turning an ayin toiva on the rest of the world. Conversely, the other way around, if you can't generate respect and compassion for yourself, then it's hard to sympathize with somebody else or another person's matzav. When a person feels empty inside or angry inside, the world is a much darker, inhospitable place. So you have two options when you're faced with this. If someone feels empty, if someone feels angry, someone feels lost with pertaining to themselves, they have two options. Option number one, to struggle up from the imagined abyss that you're in and pick yourself up, pull yourself out of it. Or option two is to bring everyone down there with you. Schlep everyone into your Gehenna. What route do you think most people take? The second option. You feel miserable or angry or empty, you schlep everyone down. That's easier to do. That's quicker to do. But it's a lot less healthy. A lot less healthy mentally, physically, spiritually. So what happens is you end up seeing a negative view of yourself, a negative view of your world, while someone who's confident sees the best in their world. The Sechtes Aves, Perek Vav, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, says, Asei lecha rav, make yourself a teacher, o kenei lecha chaver, and acquire a friend for yourself, ve'avadonis kol adam lechav schus, and judge yourself, judge every person favorably. So the Ksainis Pasim is a pirish on it. He explains the Mishnah in a deeper way. And he explains like this. Asei lecha rav means make yourself, consider yourself important. Asei lecha, consider yourself rav. Rav means important or great. So consider yourself important. Knei lecha chaver means acquire and maintain friendships. Friendships imply that you're humble. Because if you're not humble, you won't be able to maintain these friendships. So there's a Selah Harav of considering yourself great. And Knei Lecha Chaver, to acquire friendships, which has a certain degree of lowering yourself. And you need these opposite points of not being knocking yourself down, asei lecha rav, you have to consider yourself important, but not being arrogant, because if you're arrogant, you won't be able to have friends in the real way. And then the Mishnah concludes, Hava don es kol adam lekav schus, which means that because you view yourself positively, you will be able to judge other people favorably as well. So your self-image not only affects how you view other people, but it has tremendous repercussions on how your spouse or everyone else, but how your spouse particularly views you. When you have a good opinion of yourself, again, a good opinion without becoming arrogant, without becoming obnoxious, but just simply a healthy view of a good opinion of yourself in a healthy way, then your husband or wife will think the same way about you ultimately. But when you think poorly of yourself, then despite your spouse's best efforts, they will do the same. They will think poorly of you. Why? Because people around you take their cues from you about you. So here is an example that he brings. Hannah always downed herself and her abilities. When she made a cake, she predicted it would taste lousy. When she brought a dress, she knew it wouldn't look good on her. She felt hurt when her husband and her children were so critical and unappreciative. Why can't you make the same kind of cake that Mrs. Goldberg makes? Or the dress would look better if you lose some weight. And so, as her family expressed such comments, they were simply voicing her own thoughts and her own statements. Now, again, that doesn't make it right. Let's make it straight. If this Hannah said she makes lousy cakes and she says that, it's best to encourage her and tell her not to think along those lines or to improve it if she needs to, or with a dress also to pick her up, of course. But the bottom line is she needs to realize that she is promoting that response. In a way, she's even a lifnei iver of that response. When she says she always looks lousy, then it's more likely that her husband, after a while, gets drained from giving her encouragement and says, "No, you want to look, say you look lousy? Okay, you look lousy. Have a nice day." Again, doesn't make it right. I'm making it very, very clear. But it's still an important point where if you down yourself and your abilities and you knock yourself a lot, your spouse will view you that way as well. So this fundamental principle that others tend to view us the way we view ourselves is clear from the episode of the Meraglim that Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to go and spy in Eretz Yisrael. This observation, this is a famous, powerful yesod, said by many. I saw this in Rav Tversky's Sefer, and Rav Ram Tversky, and in others over here. This idea of we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, right? We looked at ourselves as grasshoppers. The chein hayinu be'enehem. And that's how we were looked like to the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. We looked like grasshoppers. Now, though the spies themselves, again, they were ksherim at the time, and they were of high level of stature and accomplishment, but they viewed themselves as small and as insignificant. And therefore, the Yoshvei Aretz, the people in the land, did the same. They looked at themselves as little meek grasshoppers, so the people who observed them also looked at them with that poor opinion of grasshoppers, as the spies had for themselves. So in a nutshell, the image of yourself affects your perception of the world around you, and the image of yourself forms the basis of your spouse's image of you, your family's image of you, your friend's image of you. You'd like to think highly of your husband or wife, and you'd like your husband or wife to think highly of you. To a large degree, this depends on you, on your degree of self-respect, on your degree of healthy self-love. So he brings different concepts here. First one is, try never to think or speak disparagingly, which means negatively, about yourself. It's interesting This is something I just want to I want to pause on this particular aside, what he says here. It's fascinating. So listen to the sentence of this first attitude that he's saying. Try never to think or speak disparagingly about yourself. He uses the word try. You should try. Now, he makes a note here that all of you should really pay attention to. He says, I really wanted to take out the word try. What do you mean, try never to think or speak disparagingly about you? I should have just said flatly, never think or speak disparagingly about yourself. Never. But I used the word try. Why did I use the word try and not never? Because I never want you to do this. Don't ever speak negatively about yourself. So why do I say only try? So he says, because he's mindful of the reality that people sometimes make mistakes and do things they shouldn't. And if you make a mistake and violate this rule, the real healthy attitude is to pick yourself up and do better next time. That is why he says that through this book, I try to avoid all absolute language because there are people who would use such a formulation to torture themselves and wind up feeling even worse about themselves. And I don't want to be part of that process, which means you have to be careful every time you hear someone, even a mechanech, even when you hear in Shulchan Aruch, chayiv, you have to do this. And if you don't do this, you're over whatever. Strong terminologies. People, some people know how to handle that. Yes, of course it's an obligation, but I'm a human being. I'm going to try. Sometimes I'm going to fail. And then I wash myself up, pick myself up, and move on. That's a healthy attitude. Other people, they hear the word, you have to do this. You never are allowed to do this. And they fall as a human being. They'll get crushed. They will torture themselves. I'm a terrible person. I was told never do this, and I did this. I was obligated to do this, and I didn't do this. And you'll feel terrible about yourself. For those people, those absolute terms of saying never and always is damaging. So he's using the word try. Very important insight to understand, particularly when you're being mechanech other people, whether it's your own children or students to teachers. So what are these disparaging negative things that you should try never to think or speak? I look like a horse. Or sometimes you tell your husband or wife, I wonder what you ever saw in me. Or I'm such an idiot. Or I can't do anything right. Or I've always said the wrong thing. So this is a big yisoid in marriage. Don't speak slightly of yourself. When you do something really wrong and you need to ask mechila, yes, then you go over to your wife or husband and say, I'm sorry I did this wrong and I apologize. And I'm sorry I hurt you and I won't do it again. You own up to what you did wrong. That's something else. But generally in terms, just in your regular conversations, to bash yourself like that damages your marriage. The Chovas Halvavas uses the words, Machshavas HaNefesh Nimshach Achar HaDibur. Machshavas HaNefesh Nimshach Achar HaDibur. The thoughts of a person's soul are drawn after the words they speak. Therefore, words of hope, confidence, happiness contribute incrementally over the course of years to create a satisfying, optimistic outlook and perspective. However, conversely, the other way around, words of despair and complaint and dissatisfaction, even when spoken flippantly like a joke, contributes to the creation of an unhappy personality, of a pessimistic personality. And of course, the effect of good or ill of any one comment gets diluted if it has so many of these conflicting thoughtless comments. Therefore, the cheerful, positive statements, if they're countered right away with negative, damaging influence of a negative, unhappy manner, it'll knock it down. So it's very, very important to do this. So we're going to continue, Be'ez Hashem, discussing this in the upcoming shiur. But one realizes and one needs to understand this first yesod. In order to develop a healthy self-respect and a healthy self-image, which marriage requires this, you have to believe you're worth being married to. You're not allowed to disparage yourself. Try never to speak negatively about yourself. When you did something wrong and you want to apologize for that wrongdoing, that's healthy. But overall in conversation, to bash yourself, that's not healthy. Bracha v'atzlacha.